A little bit. Let me get real close. No. All right. Man, this feels really weird in this microphone. All right, let's begin. Today I want to talk about something I titled Minors Before Majors. And, oh, thank you, Max. And, one of the things that I think I dislike the most, not the most, but it's just, as you're trying to become more socialized with people more and become like more of a people person, eventually you want to grow out of like, you come up to someone and it's like you haven't seen it for a while, it's kind of like, oh, what's new? And then people are like, oh, nothing. And it's like, oh, how's your job? Or how's school going? I'm not in school. Awkward, And then the conversation ends. Like, I always wanted to be like someone that's, going beyond that, like actually asking questions or just having a conversation beyond that. And, I mean, that takes a little more engaging. And so sometimes, our relationship with people is so shallow that, it's kind of like that. And then it ends off in like one or two sentences. But I think that's also something to think about in our lives, that something that we know is that our lives, not a lot of big things happen all the time. And yet when something big happens, it like happens, It comes out of nowhere. And so I think that's something that like just to think about and why we think about that, because big events, when they come, they leave us so exposed, or they really test, who we are, or what we believe, or how we will act, and they leave us so exposed. They're so important in our lives, but at the same time, it's like they don't happen all the time. And I think some of the biggest opportunities when I was reading and studying, and this message was like, so much for me. Like, well, some of the biggest opportunities that come to people, they come to people at ordinary times, and they come to ordinary people. And so when these things come up, what we need to do is we need to be prepared for big events. I don't know whatever it is in your life. I'm not going to set different definitions. You know what's big in your life. You know some things that you're looking for ahead, some big things, or some things that may have came into your life, maybe in your family. And things just to think about. And the reason why we have to kind of understand that and how the Bible teaches us to prepare for that is because, like I said, they don't happen all the time, and they usually come out of nowhere, and they can be pretty brutal, And so I think it's like, especially when we're trying to make an influence or our testimony on people, a lot of times it's not like inviting them that one time. And that might have a big impact on them, but the bigger impact of your life is when your friends, you constantly go after them. You're constantly there for them, even when you want to like give up on them. You constantly are stable with your faith. You're showing your faith to them, and you keep reaching out to them again and again and again. And I think that as believers, we really have to have that, because there's going to be times when like you're that crucial moment for them. And you could actually get to them, And so we need to be prepared. And our biggest testimony, though, for them is our stableness, our not that our lives are stable, but that our stableness in our faith. And that we're always thinking about other people. We're always reaching out. They see us after, like, they're like, oh, maybe this is like just a baptism thing. They're going to go back. And then they see 2 years pass by, and people are just growing. People are moving. People are still, Christian. You know what I mean? And I think that's so important. That's one of our biggest testimonies. But, we often have to be prepared for those big events or something that happens in their life so that we can share with them. And I think that God, as I was studying this, and just seeing how the Bible shares it, God definitely, You know, he wants his people to be dependable. He wants his people to be loyal. He wants his people to be victorious. And so the Bible teaches us, we're going to take certain principles from the Bible that will help us prepare for some of these big events with the learning that the Bible tells us that the way we prepare for them is actually with the everyday of our lives. It's with the minor stuff. It's you don't prepare for a major event because often you don't even know when it's coming. And I'm not saying like you don't study for a test or, you know, there's certain things you get. But I'm saying is that every day of our lives is such a testimony. We have to be winning in those. And that's how we'll really be like like stable when the storm comes or something happens, or, you know, even being ready for an opportunity like relationship or a job opportunity or something like that. And so I want to talk about that today. I know we all know the line, like, God is preparing us for what he has prepared for us. But often we look at what he has prepared for us, and this is the part we focus on. And so we're always looking ahead, and I think as believers, we have to really be people that live in now. And we take advantage of now, and we understand that God is preparing us now. And so that everything in your life, everything now is actually significant for your life. And it's those minors that'll give you that opportunity to be successful when the major comes. And, you know, just thinking about the relevancy in the world, if we try to be relevant today, or we see that all the time in the world, how do you be relevant in the world? You got to do something crazy or say something crazy. Like, think about how the biggest politicians right now, you know, even our president, he made a storm, you know, just some of the stuff he said and some of the stuff he's done. And think about songs, or think about, like, to stay up there in the music world. Like, we barely remember anyone from, like, 2-3 years ago. It seems like they drop off the map. You have to be relevant. And in the world, you have to always be on top. You have to always be doing something major, some big event to get you up there. And hopefully you stay up there, you know, on the number one chart or something for a while. But the Bible teaches us as believers, that's not how we level, or that's not how we are relevant. The Bible says that we are relevant by being who God made us to be, where God made us to be, and doing everything for him. We know James 4:10 says, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. That's actually the key to leveling in God's kingdom. That's the key to being relevant in where you are, is that everything you do, everything, your attitude, your posture in life is not one big thing or chasing something. It's looking for what God has for you. And you're humbling yourself because you know that it's God's way. It's him who's going to lift you up. And so that's why the gospel is so effective. You can tell it to a beggar, and you can tell it to the richest man on the earth, and they both need it just as bad. And anytime the gospel becomes something that we can't say to the poorest person or we can't say to the richest person, somewhere we've gone wrong. Because the gospel is so relevant, the gospel is so applicable, and the gospel has stayed the gospel. It's never changed unless we change it in our thoughts and in our minds. And so it's so important. And we're going to look at three places in the Bible, three people that we'll pull principles from, how to prepare for what's ahead and how to be ready for big events while also being dependable, being loyal, being stable where we are, and being a good testimony to those around us and faithful to God. Our first point is prepare. And we're going to start in Proverbs 24:27. There's more of a main chapter that we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about David for this one. But Proverbs 24:27 says, put your outdoor work in order and get your fields ready. After that, build your house. And let's just think about that for a little bit, because I always, like, when I read this verse, it hit me so hard. This is so relevant for young people today. Put your outdoor work in order, get your fields ready, and after that, build your house. And many times, I believe us as young people, like, we're so eager to jump into something. You know, what are you eager to jump into? What's big on your heart or big on your mind? Maybe, like, you know, I know almost probably all of us are eager for relationships, eager for a job, eager when we were younger to get into adulthood. We wanted to get there so much. But you can't get into adulthood without going through being a child. And in the same way that this verse is talking about, there are things that are necessary that should prioritize before being convenient. There are things that we need to clear out of the land. You can't just build a house on something that's got all kinds of stuff on there. When they build a house, they clear the land, they level it, and then they build a house. And that's what this proverb is teaching us, that we need to consider what's necessary. We need to consider what we have to prepare. We can't just jump in and build a house anywhere. We should think about it. We should be wise. We should be prepared so that we can be effective. Because preparation, it defeats ineffectiveness. And we're going to read about, you know, David and Goliath. And I just believe that God has, you know, been speaking to us. And I want, like, just think about what he's been speaking to you, about what you need to clear, what you need to prepare, why it's a process, why it's, you know, he's what he's doing in your life. And I know some of us, I know for me, that was like, wow, like, that's why he keeps, you know, nudging me and telling me this is what he wants for me. And he's so patient because he knows it's for me. But like, we try to jump into something and he's helping us understand that we need to prepare before we jump into that. So we're going to read from 1 Samuel. And before we pull it up, it's there's something about the character in the life of David, I think, that we could pull that shows how he prepared for some of the big things that came up in his life. What's the biggest story we think about when David and Goliath, right? And like, we get always the highlight reel that, you know, David, he came to the army, and Goliath was out there just harassing the people of God, telling them, come fight me. Whoever loses, they're going to become our slaves. Or if we lose, we're going to become your slaves. And this big event and this big highlight reel, and David comes in there, you know, and he says, your servant has killed both lion and bear, and I come to you in the name of the Lord. And he comes against Goliath, and he kills him. And it's this big victory, and I'm so thankful for the Bible, that the Bible doesn't just show us what happened, the result, the big event. There's principles that we pulled that that shows us how he got there, how he was able to do that. It's a big feat. Goliath was like 9 foot something. And there's a lot of things in our lives that are so big and are so weighty. Or when you look around at people and they're accomplishing all of this, or they're going through all this, and it's easy to see the highlight reel and not easy to understand what they're going through, what they face, and what really prepares people to be successful when those big things come up. And so that's what we're going to read about today. We're going to start in 1 Samuel 17, 33 to 37. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. They're obviously doubting him. And they're saying, what are you doing? They got offended. They're like, go take care of the sheep. What are you doing here, embarrassing us? But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing that he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And then David goes on to defeat him. And I think about that, and I'm like, what did David do? What is it? He says that this Goliath is just like a bear and a lion that he already killed. And this is the Goliath that's terrorizing people, that they're in fear, they're in doubt, they're paralyzed. And he comes in there and he compares it to just another, like another way for God to deliver him, for God to have his way. And if I look back, and if we look back, what David did to prepare for that, we can just turn a couple verses back to 1 Samuel 17, 15. And it says, but David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. David was already knew Saul, and he was already playing the harp for him. David was already anointed king. And David would return to his father's house and take care of the sheep In verse 20, Max, if you could pull that up. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper, and took the things and went as Jesse has commanded him. And I want you to think about David. David anointed king. David, who is in the courts of Saul, and he's still taking care of those things that seem menial and that only usually the youngest or the lowest would be taken care of. And I just wonder for our lives, I was thinking about this and reading this, that the reason David got an opportunity for Goliath is because he was doing and being obedient in where he was. And him being obedient and taking care of his father's sheep led him to the point where he came to this opportunity with David and Goliath story that we know about because he was just bringing food to his brothers. And it just marvels me how David is so unaltered by Goliath. Big Goliath, and he's just like, what's going on? This guy is defying God's name. He should be put to death. The law of Moses said that if anyone blasphemes God, they got to be stoned. And it's so cool how Goliath, was stoned. I just think about that. I was like, wow. And that just made me wonder and thinking, like, where God has me is how he's preparing me for what he has for me. And where I am is my gateway to get to the opportunities that God has for me. It's just amazing. And it makes that small, that it makes that insignificant all of a sudden it seems so alive. And if we really set our hearts that it's God who we're serving, it's God who we're honoring, and it's God's character that's in us, that's why we're able to do this, then it really doesn't matter. If God lifts me up, it doesn't matter. I don't need a big event. I don't need a big opportunity to look for one. I can rest in God. I can get to know him. I can learn from him, and he prepares me so that when the time comes, when he knows I'll be able to be prepared for that, then he takes me and he gives me that opportunity. And that's what God wants to do in your life. That God, it's not like you're not doing a lot nowadays, so God is like, well, I can't really use you. Where you are right now is exactly where God, hopefully, well, where you are is where God can use you, and where God wants you to be is where you should be, no matter how that looks. And I was just thinking about that, and the preparation and what David did. And when I was thinking about that, I was thinking about my own life, and I said, like, what am I doing where I am? Am I honoring God with everything I do? And do I have that right mindset that everything that I do, if I do it unto the Lord, that's the way to be prepared. That's how he prepares for me, and that's how it gets me ready. And I look back now on my life, and, you just realize how, like, before, you're always, like, every time you look back, you're so thankful for God's grace and wisdom, but you realize how unprepared you were before. And it seems like you're already so much more prepared when you look back, but then when you look ahead, it seems like you're still not prepared enough. But when we honor God, when we do what God's been calling us to, then we know that we're prepared for that opportunity. And when it comes up, we're not paralyzed by fear. We're not paralyzed by amazement or something. We're able to go in there and take the same principles that he taught us where we were and use them for that opportunity for us. The second thing I want to talk about in the purpose, how to prepare for the big events and how to prepare for big maybe challenges in our life while being living every day and living in the normal is purpose. And I'm talking about purpose, not purpose like what's your purpose, but purpose like resolve. Like purpose like to set, I purpose to do this, so I'm setting my mind to do it. That's what we're talking about here, purpose, because as a Christian, often we try to strive like to be that firework. We think of like a big flash of glory for God, but God was looking for a flame. And that's what we have to purpose in our heart. If you ask me if there's anyone who is relevant to their world they were living in and honored God and was diligent and loyal and dependable, I would probably select Daniel, sorry. Think about the life of Daniel. Daniel served three kings. that from studying that I know of, and he was the top three for all of them, I believe. Or at one point, he became the top three. Think about someone who's so relevant to the day he's living in, and so excellent. The Bible says that an excellent spirit was in him. He was so good at what he did. He was so prepared. Everything that came up to that was the largest, one of the greatest empires that ever was. And it just amazes me. And I think we could look at the life of David and take some more principles about how we can live our lives relevant day to day while also taking those opportunities that come our way or the tests and challenges. Let's look at Daniel 1:8 and pull that up. This is the verse that is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, and it's really like almost like a life verse for me. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacy, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. I was looking at this word purpose. You know, we don't use it anymore. We think like resolved. That's what new translations say. Like he decided, he resolved. But then I was looking at some root words that are connected to purpose in his heart. And one of them was enchanting the heart. And I just thought about that, and I was like, wow, like that means enchanting the heart. That means delighting your heart. And so almost like if I would read it, it would be like, but Daniel delighted his heart that he would not defile himself with the worldly things. And if there's ever a time where we need to understand the Bible and we need to understand who the Father is and who God is, it's now. It's so important to understand who God is and understand his purpose for us and his love. If we look at John 14:15, this is a verse that like shakes people up. And this is a verse that has so much love and meaning behind it, if you want to pull it up next. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so whenever we read this and whenever I read that, I was like, all right, if I'm keeping his commandments, like if I want to love God, I'm keeping his commandments. So I'm always trying to keep his commandments. But actually, if you study this in the word keep, they use it in terms of I keep. So like I keep his commandments or I guard or I observe in the sense that in the other translations, they write will keep. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so the emphasis isn't on keep my commandments. The emphasis is on if you love me. And that's where we went wrong because we strive so hard and we see that and we feel like so, you know, down. We feel so challenged. We feel so afflicted. But Jesus is saying, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And Daniel learned to delight himself in the Lord. He learned that at a time when he had the greatest things around ever. Imagine being the top in the kingdom, what you have around you, what you can be. And he delighted himself in the Lord. That just amazes me. That should be what drives us, our love for the Lord. Because our love for the Lord, love is the strongest thing. And our love for people is what really is going to change people, not because we do the right things. And that was just so amazing to me. And we could see that if we go to Daniel 6:10, we can see such a powerful verse. And when the time came, we know Daniel was thrown in the lion's den. We all know that story. But if we look back and we study, the Bible shows us something. And I think it's such a big key. It says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. And here's the part where this is the key. As was his custom since early days. See, Daniel didn't just go to God all of a sudden when this law came up. Daniel was going to God since he purposed in his heart. And he prayed three times a day because that was his custom, not because the law came out. And so when this thing came out, he was unaffected from it. He was probably praying to God about it, you know, and all this stuff, but that was his custom. He was used to that. And if there's one key that I learned in my life that's so important, especially for us as young people, is never negotiate with the enemy. Like when we want to, we feed what we want to grow. And when I think about that, never negotiate with the enemy. Don't make those decisions when you're down in life, when you're tired, when you're weary. There are times when I wake up early and I'm like, that's it. I gotta figure out how to shut this down. I don't want to do anymore. And then like halfway through the day, or like when you get through it, you're so glad you did it. And I always, when I make choices, and when you make choices in your life, especially choices to prepare yourself, choices that make an impact, you should make those before. You should make those and think about them. Think about the hard choices in life. Think about purpose in your heart, who you want to be as your spouse, who you want to be, who you are, what you're going to say when this comes up, what choice you're going to make. Is it God's choice or this when this comes up? So that when it comes up, you're already ready. Just like Daniel, when it came up, he was already ready. He didn't negotiate that. He didn't say, well, I'll pray two times or one time. Or he wasn't like shook by this. This was his custom already. And as young people, that has to be so important in our life, that we decide before the battle even comes. And we decide that I'm not going there before I even get the invite to go there. And when I began to do that in my life, that created such a change in my life. Because in that moment when you're fighting, man, and you're trying to negotiate, like, I'll just do this, but I won't do this, you're really weak. And you always end up losing or compromising. But when you decide beforehand, you say, no, I'm doing it God's way. This is what my answer is going to be when it happens. Maybe sometimes it's just, I'm going to run. The Bible teaches us that there's some things that you just got to run from. Don't even give it a chance. You don't say go away in Jesus' name or something. You just go away from it. Because it's such a powerful force. And not that we're not more powerful than it, but as believers, especially as young believers, and we're growing in our faith, these things are really something that really pulls us. And so sometimes we just have to purpose in our heart before it ever comes up that we're not going to do that, or we're not going to, or we are going to do something. And so don't make the choices, and don't make the, you know, even stuff like reading your Bible or praying. Only when it comes up to some big thing came up in your life and now you started praying, or you decided that this and this happened and so now you want to pray. That's good and we should definitely pray, but I'm saying start there early so that when you come to that, you're not overwhelmed. You're not so afraid. Begin to read, begin to pray, begin to spend time with Him. Learn to enchant your heart, you know, to delight in the Lord so that you can keep His commandments, so that you can be ready when these things come, so that when big life events happen and stuff like that you can be ready. And especially I think of that, and even when we were talking about, you know, preparing the house, I look at what God wants to do in our life, and when we purpose in our heart, that prepares us for those moments when we like get to somewhere where we're going. Because what are you controlling? What is God speaking to you in your life so that you can be ready for marriage? So you can be ready for having control of certain things, because it's not going to get easier when you get married. You're not going to serve more when you get married if you're not serving now. You're not going to have better control in your finances if you're not having control now. You know, if I'm living with parents and I don't have control of my finances, it's not going to change any better when I have all the bills now to pay in a house, in an apartment, or wherever you are. So that's some things that are practical, but something to think about and to allow God to do that, because you know He works all things for the good. It's not to take your fun away, but He wants to prepare you so that you can be able to go through life prepared, you know, effective, and be able to reach people around you. So purpose in your heart. Don't negotiate. Decide before. And the third thing is position. I think if, besides for the communion part where it says, and He took the cup and He gave thanks, that's probably one of the most favorite parts of the Bible. It's so real. And for me, this is also another powerful chapter, John 13, 1-5. John 13, 1-5, you can pull it up. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour had come that He should depart from the world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him. Jesus, here's the verse, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which he was girded. This is such a powerful chapter because this is Jesus. And it says that Jesus, knowing that he was from God and going to God, he was able to go through all this. Why? Because he understood his position. He understood his relationship with the Father. And so he was able to wash the disciples' feet, something that only the lowest servants would do. And he taught us a principle of being a servant. In the kingdom, a servant is like the most powerful, you would say, in the kingdom of God. Why? Because a servant meets a need. If I needed something, the servant brings the need. And a lot of times we experience rejection in our life when we see needs all around us and we can't meet them. And that's why people carry around the orphan spirit, because they see needs. They see places where there is need and they can't meet that need. But as sons and as daughters of God, we need to understand that our resources are from God. And so our position as a servant isn't, like, you're never level up from there. That's the level. That's where you want to be as a servant. And because God is God, and because all that God, the Father, had, he gave to Jesus, and Jesus gave us authority and gave us sonship through what he did, we now have that too, and we have access to actually change people's lives and help them. We could actually meet needs. And that's why wherever you are, you're not insignificant and you're not ineffective. Because if you understand the Word of God and you begin to follow those principles that, you know, we were talking about, you'll begin to see change around you. You'll begin to be able to actually help someone. Because when you go in somewhere that's all impoverished and it looks like, where do we even start? You can get overwhelmed and you feel rejected because you feel like you can't make a difference. But when you allow God through work to you, when you allow God to work through you and you understand your position, you're able to now help people. You're able to meet needs for people. And that's what we need to be. If we're going to be effective, if we're going to be not be insecure, if we're not going to be struggling with insignificance, we need to understand our position. We need to understand the purpose. Our purpose, when we resolve to seek the things of God and to honor the things of God, our purpose is visible each and every day. Think about the life of Daniel. It says he resolved in his heart and he purposed in his heart and what he was relevant for three kings that reigned. Why? Because each day he found purpose. Each day was purpose to him. Why? Because he was doing it for God. It wasn't, he didn't have his own, like, you know, it wasn't for his glory or for his agenda. And he was so effective because that was his purpose. And wherever you are, God has a purpose for you. And a lot of times we wait for a big, like, description to fall down. When, if we purpose in our hearts and we resolve to do the things of God, to understand, to begin to studying and praying and reaching out to people with love and understanding our position, then we begin to find purpose in every day that we live. And God begins to open up those doors, opportunities. And one day you'll be just going to bring someone, your brothers, you know, that are serving or that are doing something great, something, and all of a sudden you have the opportunity to do something that no one else could do and everyone else was afraid to do. So that's what I want you guys to understand, and I want you to try it God's way and to prepare and to purpose in your heart and to understand your position. And so obviously we know that all this, like, without Jesus we can do nothing. So I'll take all of this through the lens of in Jesus. And you can pray to God, you can ask him, I always ask God for those things that I don't see in my life and I don't even want. Like, it's such a battle, but I ask him for the things that are his because I know that he answers prayer. So if I pray against it, his way will come through and then he'll help me get through some of those things and some of those desires that I have of my own that are warring against what he has for me. So I hope you guys understand that, and I hope you guys take a new light and begin to delight yourself in the law of the Lord. I'm trying not to read the Bible anymore to check off, like, not that I was, but like I got to read my Bible today for the purpose of like reading it. I'm trying to actually get to know Him and to delight myself in Him and allow His Word to transform me. And that also involves something on my end where I'm preparing, I'm honoring those around me, I'm being loyal and dependable where I'm at, so that God can prepare me for what He has prepared for me. So that's all I have for you. Thank you.